I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. Philadelphia has been in the process of reevaluating all real estate in the city to determine whether the taxes paid on a property reflect its real value. This massive overhaul is called Actual Value Initiative, or AVI. Letters were sent out earlier this month, and some property owners could see those taxes go down, while others, especially those living in gentrified neighborhoods, could see a big jump in their property taxes. There is a timetable for appeal, and City Council has to decide on a new rate. So today in Radio Times, what you need to know about AVI. Let me introduce our three guests. Kevin Gillen is an economist, senior research consultant with the University of Pennsylvania's Fells Institute of Government, where his work focuses on urban economics, finance, and real estate. Kevin Gillen, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Great to be here, Marty.
Patrick Kirkstra writes about urban policy issues for Philadelphia Magazine. He's also an Inquirer guest columnist and a Philadelphia Journalism Fellow for The Next City, and has spent a lot of time covering this issue for those publications. And Patrick, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times as well.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us by telephone is Rob Dubo. He has been Philadelphia's Director of Finance, the city's Chief Financial Officer since 2008. And Rob Dubo, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thanks for having me.
Let me begin with you, if I could. Why does the city need to do this AVI? What's the purpose?
The purpose is to get people's assessments accurate. They had been inaccurate and confusing for years. This is really about getting property values right and getting to a system where people understand what their taxes are and why they are what they are.
And when was the last time the city did something this comprehensive?
I would probably argue that the last time the city did something this comprehensive and this accurate was never.
Was never. So this is it's been done piecemeal, but never the entire city?
Right, and I think never with the kind of precision that this will have. And I think another thing that will be different is we'll be doing this every year, and I think each year it will actually get a little better, too.
Well, let me give Patrick a chance to weigh in on this. How significant is this AVI? And it's always difficult to talk about finance and property taxes on the radio, but nonetheless, how do you see this, Patrick?
Well, I think it's very significant. I mean, I think that the way I've come to think of AVI is really just beginning to tell the truth about what the city's actually made up of. You know, kind of it's the census of the physical infrastructure of the city. And for a long time, we haven't known accurately at all what the city is actually made up of. You know, what the physical infrastructure of homes, businesses, industrial properties, we haven't really had a good sense of what that stuff is. And, you know, the promise of AVI is that we'll actually know now.
And to you, Kevin Gillen, what is this a good thing for Philadelphia to do? We can talk about, and we should talk about, how they came up with these various assessments. But nonetheless, is this a good thing for a city to do?
It's a good thing for any city to do, and I salute the mayor and this administration for undertaking it. No matter what you may think you should be paying in taxes in Philadelphia, and we certainly can have a spirited debate about how much we should be paying in taxes, there's no good reasons not to have your assessments correct. I mean, if you pay your income taxes every year to the federal government and it bore only a loose relationship to your income, you wouldn't accept it. If you're a business owner and the business taxes you pay only bore a loose relationship to what your revenues were, you wouldn't stand for it. Yet in Philadelphia, the property taxes you pay have only a very casual relationship to what your property values are. Moreover, under the existing assessments, not only are they inaccurate, but they're also highly regressive, so that low-income, low-valued households are paying a higher percentage of property taxes than relatively higher-valued households.
Rob, let me go back to you and I guess break it down for our listeners how the city came up with what a property is valued at, if you'll pardon my dangling modifier there.
Sure. There are a number of factors that you look at, and one is sales in the area, one is the condition of the property, the square footage of the property, where it's located. So we actually had assessors go out and go through the whole city to look at properties, do things like work with the Department of Licenses and Inspections to see what kind of work may have been done the inside of a house. So there were a number of factors that our assessors looked at in putting together values.
So every single property was looked at this city?
Every single property was looked at from the outside, yes.
And some from the inside?
I think very few for the inside. We'd have to kind of be invited in for that.
And Marty, I'd love to point out that assessing property in Philadelphia is extremely challenging because we have a very old housing stock. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the characteristics of the homes that determine its value, number of beds, number of baths, the condition of the interior, type of quality of finishes, those are unknown to our assessors. In the younger cities or suburban jurisdictions, you've got building permits and blueprints you can go by that the city can use, the municipality can use to determine that stuff. Here in Philadelphia, you know, we have to guess at that stuff because our housing stock, or our real estate stock in general is so old that much of that information is, you know, lost to the winds of time, and so the appraisers can only go by what they observe from the outside of the building.
But does that raise questions about what a real value is then if you can't see the entire structure?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to offer to people to make, you know, if they think that we've gotten it wrong, is a different appeal process from before. Mm-hmm. You can actually do what's called a first level appeal, where you can submit information about why you think that the assessment was wrong, and then actually, you know, have interactions with the assessor who looked at your property, because mm-hmm. the key thing for us is getting it right. So if there's something that, you know, a property owner thinks is wrong about what the assessors did, we want to know and we want to fix it.
And the idea that you could then invite that assessor inside your house and say, look at this, look at that?
Definitely, yes.
Patrick, did you want to add something?
Well, yeah, I mean, this being Philadelphia, not everyone gets building permits when they do work on the inside of their house. So, you know, you can have houses that look identical on the inside. One has a gourmet kitchen, the other has one from the 1940s.
Right.
And, you know, to an assessor, those properties are going to look to be the same. There's going to be the same value. But, you know, inside, it's a different story because, you know, we don't always get permits in Philadelphia.
Let me go back to you, Patrick, because you've been writing about this. And one of the things that you said, and I'm going to not quote you directly, but approximate what you said, which is that some communities, and perhaps some of these more gentrified communities, have actually had some real distinct advantages as a result of some of these tax policies.
Right. I mean, the old assessments were off, but they were off in some predictable ways, and that is that the higher valued areas were assessed relatively lower than they should have been compared to the rest of the city as a whole. And so what that ended up being really was sort of an unintentional, unplanned tax subsidy to specific neighborhoods. And you know, perhaps it's coincidental, but perhaps not, that a lot of these neighborhoods that have had that subsidy have done very well in recent years. And, you know, those are now the neighborhoods that are going to be hit the hardest by AVI because, you know, theoretically we're looking at accurate values now, and those homes are actually going to be assessed at what they're worth. And the subsidy is going away.
Well, and it looks like, if I can just toss this to you, Rob Dubow, that the parts of the city where those taxes are going to go up are parts of Center City, Philadelphia, the Graduate Hospital area, Northern Liberties. I mean, the areas that we know where we've seen a lot of building going on.
Yeah, I think in general you'll see increases in areas where, you know, there were rapid increases in value and there were not assessments that caught up, you know, that stayed up with them. So there are places where, you know, the assessed values became more out of whack as values of properties changed. And that, I think, is where you'll see the biggest changes.
Kevin, one of the reasons I think this city has been attractive, especially for people, professional people, and perhaps even artists, is the fact that it's an affordable city, and they've been able to take advantage of some of these neighborhoods that have been on the rise.
True,
but could be hit with a, you know, relatively large tax increase.
True. Compared to your, you know, New York's, Boston's, and D.C.'s, we are quite an affordable city when it comes to housing. Our median house price here is about $120,000. We are a city of homeowners. We have a relatively high homeownership rate compared to most other large U.S. cities because our housing is affordable. Our real challenge to our housing sector is two things. The cost of developing housing here is very high. As I like to say, we have New York construction costs, but Baltimore rents and prices. So, you know, if you wonder why we don't get a lot of market rate, affordable, or workforce housing built, that's the primary reason why. Mm. The second challenge is the quality of our housing stock. Our housing is relatively depreciated. It's old. The median Philadelphia home was built in 1925. It's got outdated mechanicals. It's a little bit leaky and somewhat depreciated, and in many cases, unfortunately, extremely depreciated.
I also want to add that while there's been a lot of focus on areas where there'll be big increases, and it's an issue that we'll have to talk about with council as we go through the budget process, it's a relatively small portion of the residential properties that will see large increases. It's about it's less than 10% of residential properties will see increases of over $1,000. So for most property owners, it's going to be a relatively small change in their tax.
Let me go back to you, Rob Dubois. We've been talking about those parts of the city and those individuals that may have to pay higher taxes. What about those that might have to pay lower property taxes?
Sure. It looks like about maybe 180,000 properties will pay lower taxes with a rate of around 1.25%, which is what we think will be the rate to generate the same amount of revenue next year as we're generating this year. Mm-hmm. And that's something I probably should have said earlier on, that's our intention here. We don't intend to collect any more revenue from AVI. Assuming that, then you have about 180,000 properties paying less, and that assumes no other relief, no homestead, no gentrification.
If I could add to that, I crunched some numbers from AVI. Under any exemption scenario, whether even no exemption or a $30,000 exemption, about 40% of Philadelphia homeowners can expect to see property tax decreases. So it's not an across-the-board increase. 40% will see decreases. As Mr. Dubois said, only about 20% will see increases greater than $500, and only 10% will see increases of more than $1,000. And again, that's basically the neighborhoods forming a ring around Center City that have seen such a house price appreciation in the past 10 years.
But that's exactly the point. I mean, the concentration, I mean, the effects are concentrated. So those folks who are getting higher taxes are concentrated in individual neighborhoods. And, the fear is in some of these neighborhoods that that's going to slow redevelopment, it's going to depreciate home values in that area or stall them out. And these are really, in a lot of respects, the neighborhoods that have been driving Center City's expansion and ongoing recovery. These are neighborhoods that have been good for Philadelphia, and the fear among some is that AVI will hurt them.
I'm glad you asked that or said that, because let me give you a chance to respond to that, Rob Dubois, which is by reevaluating some of these taxes in these more gentrified areas, you could drive out all the good that has happened there, at least some of it.
Right. So one of the things we really have to look at as we go through the spring, where we will set tax rate and we'll set relief measures, is what's the appropriate trade-off between the tax rate and relief measures to make sure that, if there are areas that are particularly hit, that we consider what options we have for lessening the impact of AVI, but at the same time not sacrificing, our ultimate goal here, which is having a fair and accurate system.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about something called AVI, or Actual Value Initiative, and Philadelphia is in the midst of a pretty massive overhaul of its property tax system, and that's what we're talking about today on Radio Times. The voice you just heard is Rob Dubois, has been Philadelphia's Director of Finance since 2008. Patrick Kirkstra with us here in our Philadelphia studios. He's been covering this issue for Philadelphia Magazine, The Inquirer, and for Next City. Also with us, Kevin Gillen. He's an economist and senior research consultant with the University of Pennsylvania's Fells Institute of Government. Any questions or comments, give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Is your child struggling in school? Supporting WHYY, Delaware Valley Friends, a Quaker College preparatory school in Paoli for students who learn differently. Delaware Valley Friends is committed to providing small classes, individual attention, state-of-the-art technology, and an accredited curriculum and faculty for grades 6 through 12. Open house on Wednesday morning, February 27th from 9 to 11 a.m. More information about Delaware Valley Friends at dvfs.org. Registration now open for summer reading and writing program.
Grammy season has come and gone, and year after year it seems like the same handful of artists get all the awards, all the radio play, and all the attention. So that's where we come in. I'm Greg Kot.
And I'm Jim DeRogatis. This week on Sound Opinions, it's Buried Treasures. We dig deep to highlight some great albums that have slipped through the mainstream cracks.
Tonight at 9 on WHYY.
Is winning all about luck or skill? What would you say if we told you that new research suggests neither? Winners simply put failure out of their minds.
If you focus on the odds, you tend not to take the risk.
What it takes to be top dog in a competitive world. We'll talk about it next time on Tell Me More.
this afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane. We're talking about something called AVI. That's Philadelphia's Actual Value Initiative, what it could mean for property owners, for renters, what it will mean for the city as well. And again, our guests are Kevin Gillen, Patrick Kirkstra, and Robert Dubow. And we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Rob, going back to you, what about commercial property owners? Is their property going to be evaluated the same way?
Yes, commercial property was also evaluated. You know, every property in Philadelphia was. In general, the values for commercial properties, well, let me put it this way, the taxes for commercial properties in total are likely to come down because they were assessed closer to their actual value in the past, so there's less of a change in their value from AVI. But that doesn't mean that, you know, that'll be true for all commercial properties. Just like with residential properties, there'll be some will see their taxes go up and others that see them go down.
Patrick, do you want to add something?
Yeah, I mean, the shift from the overall tax burden somewhat off of commercial and onto residential is part of why this is so politically difficult. It means homeowners as a group are going to be paying more than they were before, and commercial property owners as a group will be paying less. Yes, there's variation, right, plenty within those classes, but that's, as a general rule, what's happening. And, you know, so you've got Center City office towers that will be paying lower tax bills, mm-hmm, and, row homes in South Philadelphia that will be paying, you know, quite a bit more. And that's you know, going, that could be very fair, that's accurate, that's the way it should be, but it's still a really difficult political shift for, any administration, mm-hmm, and a council to enact.
Go ahead, Kevin.
And even within the commercial sector, there will be a shift of the tax burden away from Center City to many of the commercial corridors out in the neighborhoods as well.
You were saying during the break, Kevin, about the importance of accuracy, obviously, but uniformity as well.
True. There are two primary objectives to any type of reassessment, and this is true not only in Philadelphia, but it's true everywhere. So there's an organization called the International Association of Assessment Officers, IAAO, which sets assessment guidelines for the country. And the two primary objectives of an assessment are, first, accuracy. I think everyone understands that. Less well known is also uniformity. You want uniformity, smoothness, fairness in your assessments. Well, often those two things are in conflict with each other, particularly in neighborhoods that are transitioning, such as gentrifying neighborhoods, where you have greater variance or volatility in house prices than you do in more stable neighborhoods in the city. And so as an assessing officer for the city, you often face a block of properties where prices may be all over the place, and so you can set prices to be as accurate as you can, but then assessments are all over the place. And that's problematic in and of itself, not only politically, but it opens the floodgates to assessment appeals. And on top of that, it makes it very difficult for the city to budget, because if its revenue stream is very volatile due to, you know, trying to track the market as closely as you can, well, then it's very difficult to forecast and set your budget for year to year.
But what do other cities do? I mean, this is not an unusual thing for a city to do, to reevaluate its property taxes.
True. Like I said, there's a trade-off between the two. They essentially try to find that happy middle ground between the two.
Is that possible, Rob Dubow?
And part of what we're doing, too, I think, to make that work more smoothly is changing when the assessments are done. So these assessments, you know, are coming out in February, which is about a month before we submit our budget,
right,
and therefore bills that we paid in a year. So we've actually done this in a way that builds in lots of time for the appeal process and time for us to kind of see during the budget process how that's playing out.
And the next step is for city council to figure out what the rate's going to be in order to get the money that the city needs?
The next step is for us to submit, us being the administration, to submit a budget that will include a proposed rate and proposed relief measures. And then after that, council will, you know, consider that and then decide what rate to set. And I'm sure we'll have, you know, plenty of discussions during the spring about,
indeed,
where the rate and where the relief measures should be.
This is getting really into the weeds here, but I feel the need to ask this. Why not use sale price? I mean, is that an important number, I guess, to understand what a house is worth?
Yes, and that's part of what the assessors use. But it's not the only thing. people can overpay for a house. They can get, you know, a deal on a house. So, I mean, the sale price alone isn't the only determining factor.
This is something that was in the Daily News, Access Philadelphia. According to the tax assessment industry, fairness is from 80 to 120% of a home sale price. They call that the acceptable standard of deviation. Based on their analysis of the homes in the city, something like only 40% will meet this 80 to 120% variable, meaning that almost, well, about 60% do not. Can you respond to that?
I have not seen how they did their analysis. I know that the Office of Property Assessment looked at something called the coefficient of surge, and it's basically the variation in assessments, and they got a rate of under 15%. 15%, I think, is the accepted industry standard. So our analysis says we're actually within the within industry standards. Obviously, we'll look at what they did in their analysis, but we have not seen
and Marty,
yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
If I could contribute to that, those studies that try to measure the accuracy percentage are heavily dependent upon how carefully you screen your sales data. There are a lot of transactions in Philadelphia that are what we would call non-market rate transactions, interfamily transfers, sheriff sales, blanket sales, nominal sales for a dollar, transactions between nonprofits where they're not motivated by market incentives like they are in the private sector. And if you don't screen your sales data very carefully in trying to measure the accuracy of assessments, you can get very wild results.
Patrick, let me turn to you, and this is something I know that you have covered, which is the number of property tax delinquents in the city of Philadelphia. Can you speak to that?
Sure. There are about, at any given time, about 100,000 properties in Philadelphia that are past due on their taxes. Some owe only a year, some owe 30 years or more. It's the amount outstanding sort of depends on how you want to look at it, but the complete unpaid tab is about $500 million in property taxes alone. And, you know, that's a figure that the city is trying to improve. Mayor Nutter announced some new initiatives earlier this month designed to do that. Collecting more in delinquent property taxes, you know, could lead to lower overall bills for tax-paying Philadelphians.
And PICA had reported last year that Philadelphia ranked second only to Detroit in terms of its property tax collection rate. And I can tell you, as an urban economist, you don't want to be ranked next to Detroit on any metric of urban performance.
Rob Dubo, go ahead, and then I do want to get some callers in. Can you defend or explain the city on this one?
Sure, a couple of things. And I think we've done a great job of communicating what the outstanding balance is. On the property tax, the amount of principal that's outstanding is about $230 million, which is still too high. We understand it's too high, and we announced a couple of weeks ago a new series of efforts to try to tackle those delinquencies, everything from modernizing our IT system so we can better analyze what's out there and target what we go after, to making sure that our notices are more understandable. We're investing about $40 million over our five-year plan in those efforts. And, we anticipate that that will improve our delinquent collections.
And that's Rob Dubo. He's been Philadelphia's Director of Finance since 2008. Also with us, Patrick Kirkstra. He writes about urban policy for Philadelphia Magazine, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he's a Philadelphia Journalism Fellow for Next City. Kevin Gillen, an economist, senior research consultant with the University of Pennsylvania's Fels Institute of Government. We are talking about Philadelphia's massive overhaul of its property tax system. It's called Actual Value Initiative, known by the acronym AVI. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Let me see what Shana from South Philadelphia has to say. Shana, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, good morning, Marty.
Morning.
My question is, what would happen with people who were homeowners that were reassessed prior to the implementation of AVI? So, for example, in 2010, a lot of properties were reassessed at a very high rate, really based on I'm not even quite sure what, and now they're going to be reassessed, and in some cases they might go down. Will those homeowners be entitled to some sort of a credit if they've been overpaying for the past couple of years?
Rob Dubo?
There's not a credit for overpayment, just like, we're not asking people who were underassessed to come in and pay more for those prior years. But I do anticipate that if someone was assessed recently in a new assessment, that they're much closer to their accurate value, and that they probably should, they probably will see a decrease in their bill.
Shannon, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Anything either of you want to add to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there have been a lot of people who've been overpaying, not just since 2010, but for decades. Mm-hmm. And again, those people have, you know, predominantly been clustered in low-income parts of the city.
Let me see what Ira from Northern Liberties has to say. Ira, go ahead. You're on Radio Times. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm angry.
I have
to tell you, I'm real angry.
Okay.
I've been living in Northern Liberties for 36 years. When I got here, my wife and I, you know, the place was empty and buildings were falling down, and we bought properties and renovated them. I did the work, and now we live on our rental income. Excuse me. And my wife is retired. I'm an artist. And now our taxes have gone from $12,000 to $30,000, which represents close to 30% of our income. And I'm angry because we've been involved in the neighborhood for all those years in an active way, and we've been here not as speculators, but as community people. We want to live in a nice neighborhood. And now we're essentially looking at a position where we might have to leave to pay our real estate taxes. And I'm angry, and essentially I want credit for having stuck it out and not gone the way of a lot of people, where prices went up, let's sell and move somewhere else.
Well, Ira,
I feel like a sucker.
Well, Ira, first of all, I'm glad that you called, because this is the right place, and I want to begin with you, Rob Dubo, and I'd be curious what you say back to Ira from Northern Liberties.
I did a couple of things. First, I think people should bear in mind that we're early in the process yet, so where their taxes will end up will depend on, you know, where this process plays out in terms of relief measures. So we understand that there are people who would see dramatic increases if we didn't do anything, and that that's something we have to talk about to see whether there are, you know, fair ways to balance the need to protect those people against making sure that we have accurate and fair assessments.
Patrick, I mean, this is the second caller we've had talking about fairness. And,
sure.
And obviously feeling...
Relief measures are only going to be able to do so much. I mean, there's going to be a massive redistribution of the tax burden, and some people are going to pay a lot more, even with all of the, you know, relief measures that have been discussed before. You know, there's a lot of people out there like Ira who, in good faith, you know, bought homes in neighborhoods and were perfectly prepared to pay the tax bill that the city said they were going to pay. And now, you know, it feels like a bait and switch. Now it feels like, you know, they've done what they've been asked to do, and all of a sudden they're being almost told that they've been freeloading when they've been paying their bills. So I get that anger, and there's a lot of anger like that out there. But what's the alternative? Do you keep going along knowing that other people are paying what Ira should be paying? You have to fix it sometime.
Go ahead, Kevin.
For every Ira, there's 25 row home owners in North Philadelphia that have been overpaying for years as well, and that's unfair to them. And I'm sympathetic to Ira, and particularly many of the people who invested in their homes, invested in their neighborhoods. I salute them. They've driven the revitalization of many neighborhoods in this city. But, you know, I point out to you, when, you know, the fact that there are now homes in Philadelphia that are worth more than we thought they ever would be, when was the last time we had this problem? And, you know, I'd also point out that's not the worst problem a city can have, nor can a homeowner like Ira have.
But nonetheless, and just to underscore what Ira is saying, is that, you know, he feels like he is invested, and obviously he's in a neighborhood that has turned around. But if he can't afford it, and if what he says is from $20,000 to $30,000, that's a gigantic jump. And I guess back to you, Rob Dubo, is, you know, I'm sure there are many Iras out there. Can you help each one of them individually?
No, I don't think we should look at it. I mean, we should look at the problem that AVI creates for homeowners globally rather than individually. We should actually first determine whether, you know, what the problem is, if there is a problem, and then the best way to handle that. And again, we are talking about something that impacts a relatively small percent of property owners. I completely understand their anger, and it will definitely be part of a discussion during the spring. I mean, I do think people should, you know, participate in that discussion, and they should understand that there is a long way to go in this process.
Ira, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And I don't know whether we'll hear from anyone who's happy about, you know, the letter that they received. Patrick, let me go to something that you had you wrote back in September of last year, looking at the numbers of properties in this city that are tax exempted, whether they are cultural institutions or school districts or federal government or medical facilities. You had a long list of properties that don't pay this property tax.
Right. And included in there is tax abatements, right, for new construction and renovations. You know, Philadelphia is blessed to have a very large eds and med sector, which does a lot of great things for the economy and for the region, and there's no questioning that. But those properties, by and large, don't pay property taxes. They're exempt. And we also have, you know, one of the nation's biggest and most generous tax abatement programs, the idea being to encourage investment in a city that's really needed that sort of investment. But the effect of all of that has been to exempt a big chunk of the city's tax base from taxation. You know, the numbers have changed a little bit under AVI. It's not quite as large a share of the city's tax base under AVI as it was under the old assessments, which I was using in that story you're referencing. But there's still a very large percentage that can't be taxed, either because the properties are abated or because they're nonprofits. There are measures out there. There are things that the city is, I know, considering, something called pilots, which is payment in lieu of taxes, and that's this notion of asking the University of Pennsylvania's the medical centers to contribute something. And there's been recent changes in the law that might enable that to happen.
Is that going to happen, Rob Dubow?
I think the whole subject of abatements and tax-exempt properties will be part of this discussion over the next couple of months. I know there have been a couple of pieces of legislation already introduced in council and resolution calling for hearings, so that definitely will be part of the conversation going forward.
But picking up on what Patrick said to you, Kevin, and we're about a minute away from our second break here, but it seems to me that eds and meds and nonprofits and theater groups and all, that's also a good thing for a city.
It is, and you know, I point out that you know, people, there are critics of the abatement in particular. They point out that it disproportionately goes toward higher priced housing, Center City condos, Northern Liberty townhouses, and the like. I point out to you that that may be true, but that we would not have gotten probably about 2/3 of that new construction that we did get without the abatement, because our construction costs are so high. So when people point out to me that the abatement seems to promote more development at the higher end of the market, to me, that's not an argument for doing away with or curbing the abatement. To me, it's an argument for expanding it so that we could get more low-income and workforce and affordable housing, maybe, you know, extending it to 20 years and maybe do 100% of the value of the property, so it would include the value of the land as well.
And that's Kevin Gillen, again, economist, senior research consultant with the University of Pennsylvania's Fells Institute of Government. Patrick Kirkstra, also with us. He writes about urban issues for Philadelphia Magazine, for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and for Next City. Rob Dubow joining us by telephone. He's Philadelphia's Director of Finance. That's the city's chief financial officer. And we are talking about AVI, the Actual Value Initiative. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
The Greater Philadelphia Cultural Alliance supports WHYY. Through a partnership with Musicopia's Gift of Music program, the Cultural Alliance is looking for new or gently used instruments to collect, repair, and then provide to needy students in the Chester Upland School District. Details on how to drop off an instrument at the Cultural Alliance between now and the end of February online at philaculture.org. The Greater Philadelphia Cultural Alliance supports WHYY.
The legendary Boston criminal Whitey Bulger, who inspired Jack Nicholson's character in the film The Departed, was wanted for 19 murders when he was captured after 16 years on the lam. While pursuing his criminal career, Bulger was informing, too, and getting protection from the FBI. On the next Fresh Air, two journalists who've covered his story join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
Bullying. From the playground to cyberspace, it can be a minefield of teasing, taunting, threatening, shunning, and sometimes physical harm. On the next Voices in the Family with Dr. Dan Gottlieb, we'll look at bullying's many forms, its cultural roots, and when and how to intervene. today at noon here on WHYY-FM.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane, talking with Rob Dubow, Patrick Kirkstra, and Kevin Gillen about AVI, the Actual Value Initiative. This is this massive overhaul of Philadelphia's property tax system. And yes, we're talking about taxes on the radio. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Let me see what Tim from Fishtown has to say. And Tim, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I live in Fishtown, Port Richmond area, and I'm a homeowner. Our tax assessment came out, and we'll be having, basically our taxes will be doubling. But on my block, people will be receiving anywhere between 50% and 600% increase in taxes based on their assessment, assuming like a 1.34% tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking at the... Access Philly has a map up where you can look at plots all throughout the city and see the assumed tax burden after the AVI. And what I've been noticing is that businesses in the area around my house are all decreasing anywhere between 50 to 70%, while all the homeowners seem to be incurring a greater tax burden. I'm curious why we're not taxing Philadelphia businesses in line with what we're doing to homeowners. It almost seems like the tax burden is being balanced on our backs, while companies like Target, Home Depot, ShopRite, who aren't going anywhere, are getting tax breaks.
Tim, yeah, we touched on this earlier, and I want to get a response to your question. I'm curious about how much more you're going to be paying in taxes, if you don't mind sharing that on the radio. You said yours might double?
About $1,000 more.
About $1,000 more. So you were paying $1,000, and now you're probably paying another $1,000?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let me give you a chance, Rob Dubow, to respond to his concern. And we touched on this about how commercial properties are being affected versus people's residential properties.
Sure, Sue. Two things. One, before this year, when you looked at how assessments compared to actual value, in general, commercial properties were assessed much closer to their real value, which meant that relative to residents, they were paying higher taxes than they should have. When you get to accurate values, that corrects that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, though, I think you may be using the wrong rate. The rate with no relief looks like it'll be close to 1.25%. That may help reduce the increase when he does the calculation.
You're nodding your head, Patrick. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, the other sort of piece to the commercial versus residential is that, you know, in Pennsylvania, the state constitution has been interpreted by the courts as saying that we can't tax different sorts of property at different rates. That's not the case in a lot of other states. The assessments are just supposed to tell us the true value of what things are. If you want to see commercial entities taxed at a higher rate, that's something to talk to the state legislature about and see if you can't get that changed. But the assessments should tell us honestly and truly, you know, what that strip mall is worth, what that grocery store is worth, and what that row home is worth.
Tim, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let me see what Brett from Jenkintown has to say. Brett, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm in the title insurance business, and I have something to do with tax collections. And I'm concerned about what happens when the AVI comes up with some different values on properties that are already tax delinquent as of this day. And so, how that collections activity would be affected, and what happens when a lot of people find now that perhaps their assessments have been reduced, and they come forward and say, well, perhaps that proves that I was overassessed all along and I should not owe the taxes that I'm delinquent for up to this date. And I'll hang and take the answer off the air.
Fair enough. Rob Dubow, that's back in your court.
Right. I mean, I think we still want people to pay the taxes they owe, and we're still going to try to collect what's owed.
And what I hear is with our tax system, you don't get to, you know, make up what you felt was unfair in the past. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, it's I think is any part of some significant and serious reform to our assessments and implementation of ABI would have to be coupled with a serious effort to collect on these delinquent taxes. Mm-hmm. For either Ira in Northern Liberties and Tim in Fishtown are upset that their taxes have gone up. Well, even people who may think they are paying a fair tax because their property value has gone up, but then they find out that their neighbor hasn't been paying any taxes for years. I can understand why people would get pretty upset about that.
Not fair enough. Thanks for the call to Radio Times. You can call as well, 1-888-477-9499. Patrick, let me go back to you, and we've been focusing just on AVI and property taxes, but there are wage taxes, there are various business taxes. Put this discussion into a larger context.
Right. Well, in Philadelphia, we've had a burdensome tax structure, but one that's been weighted extremely towards the wage and business side. You know, compared to most other cities and to most other municipalities, property taxes in Philadelphia are very low. There are some folks out there who think that sound, economic policy suggests that we attempt to reduce wage and business taxes and to shift that burden, or percentage of that burden at least, onto property taxes. That was a non-starter before because the assessments were so bad. You couldn't possibly conceive of doing that given that the fundamental assessments were so inaccurate. That becomes more viable now that you've got assessments that are better and assessments that I think, will improve still more over time. This becomes a real possibility now, this notion of reducing wage taxes, reducing business taxes in the hopes of generating more jobs while increasing property taxes. And there's a whole bunch of reasons which Kevin can touch on as to why economists believe that property taxes do less harm than wage and business taxes.
I want to get to that, but let me give you a chance, Rob Dubow, to weigh in on that. Is that how the city sees it in terms of rebalancing some of these taxes?
Well, I think we believe that it's important to reduce tax burden. We have a 5-year plan that includes both wage tax reductions and reductions in our business taxes. In fact, wage tax rate for residents has gone below 4% for the first time since the 70s. So it's definitely one of our goals to reduce wage and business taxes.
Does that make sense? I mean, broadly speaking, Kevin, to have that kind of formula?
Yes. I mean, it's most Philadelphians understand that historically we've been taxed too much, but what is less well understood is that Philadelphia has historically taxed the wrong things. Most economists agree that when it comes to local taxes, not national, but local, taxing property is better than taxing people or businesses, because people and businesses can move. Property cannot. So therefore, you tax that which is less able to escape the tax, and it's also a more predictable tax, because property values can't bounce around like crazy from year to year the way, people or businesses can move in or out. Only about 15% of Philadelphia's budget comes from property taxes. That is very low compared to what the average is for most U.S. cities, either large or small.
What's more typical?
Oh, like 60%, 70%.
Oh, really?
And second is state aid, and also which is also not a major source of funding for Philadelphia. About half of Philadelphia's tax revenue comes from wages and business taxes. So we not only tax too much, but like I said, we tax the wrong things. But before, if we were going to rebalance our tax burden away from wages and businesses, tax them less, and tax property more. The thinking behind that is, well, if you tax them less, you make the city a more attractive place to be and less punitive to live and work. Well, we'll attract more businesses, more people. That will bid up property values, and hence the rise in property tax revenues will make up for the loss in wage and business tax revenues. But that only works if your assessments are correct, because they have to capture that increase in value. Right. And this has been pointed out by both tax reform commissions of the past 10 years that, until we get our assessments correct, any other talk of serious tax reform just isn't even possible.
I could, though, understand or imagine an individual under that might be, property rich but income poor, and they would get caught up. I mean, they would get caught in that kind of a formula.
Well, again, there are a lot of people in the city who now occupy homes that are worth more than they ever thought they would be. Mm-hmm. I know council will be considering various measures of relief in implementing ABI, and I think that's good. But ultimately, I would point out that, having a tax base that is worth more than you thought it would be is a good problem to have.
You agree with that, Rob Dubow?
Having a tax base that's
worth more than what you think, yes.
It is. I mean, that is definitely a good thing. It shows that the city is vibrant, that property here is in demand. So I think that's definitely a positive.
But we should also say that the school district, I guess like other districts, gets, what, most of its money from a property tax, yes?
Most of the local tax money it gets is from the property tax. That's correct.
So AVI was passed by City Council. Council is going to decide on rates and some other parts of AVI. Is the city going to stand firm on this, Rob Dubow?
This when whole you process? Say stand firm, oh, you mean in terms of moving to fair and accurate values?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, yes. We think it's really important that our values be accurate for all the reasons we've talked about in the last hour, and we think that's really what's fair to property owners in the city.
And Patrick, do you think this will make this a better city? Can we say that, or is it too soon?
I think it enables us to do things that you know can make the city a better city. And you know, it gives you the flexibility to change the tax structure. It gives policymakers in City Hall a better sense of what the city's actually composed of, so they can do it, programs and initiatives that are actually based on real good data as opposed to terrible data, which has been far too often the case in the past.
Go ahead, Kevin.
AVI doesn't necessarily represent some type of big progressive reform. It's just what cities are supposed to do. I mean, it's what all cities do. They get their assessments right.
But I think there are questions about, whether the assessments, for those who are questioning it, whether those assessments are correct, whether they are fair, whether eyeballing a structure gives you that kind of accurate and fair information.
I think those are all great, great questions. I'm sure they'll be part of the debate going forward. But I point out to anyone who may not like these new assessments, that's not an argument for sticking with the old assessments. It's kind of like saying, well, these new assessments are no good, so let's stick with the horrible ones.
And are we talking about horrible ones, Rob Dubow?
For the old assessments.
The old ones, yes.
Yeah, the old assessments really were confusing and largely inaccurate. The new assessments are understandable and accurate. Are they perfect? No, I think when you do 579,000 properties, there'll be some, particularly in the first year, that may be off, but that's why there's a first-level review process. That's why people can, if they're not happy with that, they can appeal to the BRT and eventually even go to Common Pleas Court. And we do want to know if people think that, their properties aren't valued appropriately.
Patrick, would it be fair to say that this has, at least as it stands now, is a more transparent system?
Yeah, and in fact, I give the administration enormous credit for the way this data was released. Not only were individual property owners able to go online and look at what their property's worth, and to look at how much in taxes they'll pay with various tax rates. The city made every valuation available in a big data dump for geeks like myself to download and to play with, and they did it the same day that it was given to the other political actors. So the process has been transparent ever since the data was released. It was done in quiet. There's no leaks ahead of time, unfortunately.
As a journalist, yes, go ahead.
And AVI is not just a one-time great leap forward. It's a process that's going to continue to improve going forward. So the city's going to get feedback from property owners pointing out that, the number of bathrooms that you said I had is wrong, or the number of garages, and they'll take that information into account and adjust assessments accordingly, and they'll continue to improve going forward.
Let me get
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Rob.
And, we plan to do assessments every year, which means that we will be keeping up with what's going on in the market, so that after the first year, any changes should be much more gradual, and I think each year we'll get a little more accurate.
Let me get Allison from University City to join us on Radio Times. Allison, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about how you think this is going to impact rents going forward. I know over the past 10 years, there's been an influx of a younger and creative class in Philadelphia that's really benefited the city as far as arts and culture and new business development. And what I'm seeing is a lot of businesses or a lot of homes, especially in my neighborhood, that do rent out, their properties are being evaluated for much more. And I'm wondering what you're thinking this is going to do to impact rent, as far as if it's going to push people out or if it's going to raise rents throughout the city. What is going to be the implication of that?
It's a good question, Allison. And again, back to you, Rob Dubow.
Sure. And it is a good question. It's something we've been looking at. I think, we don't know the answer to that yet. Some of it depends on, what changes in specific properties have been, what landlords will do. But that's something that we definitely know is an issue we have to examine as we go through the process in the spring.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, rent will definitely go up almost inevitably in these neighborhoods that, you know, have had the worst assessments in the past and are now really equalizing. I don't see a way around that unless landlords decide to be very generous and just eat it. In fact, given a homestead exemption, which is something of a discount for homeowners, mm-hmm. you know, landlords don't get that, right. And so it's conceivable that renters will in these neighborhoods that are hardest hit be, you know, sort of the biggest losers of all. That's a real possibility.
Yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
And our rental market in the past several years has actually done quite well. We've seen significant appreciation in rents, particularly in and around the center city areas, as Allison has pointed out. And a large part of that is it's the outcome of the housing bubble bursting. As house values plummeted, people were averse to buying a home if its value is dropping. Moreover, credit conditions for buying a home got extremely tight, and unemployment was higher. So people just didn't have the money. You know, they were laid off or constrained. So what do you do if you can't buy a home? Well, you rent. So that's really been supporting that segment of the market. So, you know, between the abatement and the idea that your rent might rise, plus there might be a homestead exemption, maybe Allison might want to consider buying a home.
Allison, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And we are out of time, and my thanks to all three of you for joining us today on Radio Times. Rob Dubo, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. He's Philadelphia Finance Director Kevin Gillen. Thank you very much as well.
Thank you.
And he's economist, senior research consultant with the University of Pennsylvania's Fells Institute of Government. Patrick Kirkstra, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You're welcome. And he has been covering the intersection of taxes and politics in Philadelphia for Philadelphia Magazine, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and for Next City. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out much more about this program. Also go to Newsworks. We've been covering this issue at our site there as well. Thank you so much for those phone calls, and thanks for joining us. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. We'll be right back.